Welcome to Is There Room for Justice? A series of talks on the Palestine-Israel conflict with Dr. Ishmael Zayed.
Today's Palestinian people are calling for a modicum of justice, for without this modicum of justice, there will be no peace for Arab or two in the Middle East.
Dr. Zayed was born and grew up in Beit Nuba, Palestine, went to school in Jerusalem, received his medical education at the University of London, and emigrated to Canada in 1972. He is the author of numerous writings, including two books, Palestine, A Stolen Heritage, and Zionism, The Myth and Reality. He is also founding president of the Canada-Palestine Association. In this edition, Dr. Zayed discusses Israeli weapons of mass destruction, a threat to peace.
In recent months, there had been a great deal of discussion and controversy about weapons of mass destruction in relation to Iraq and President Saddam Hussein, and the threat that was portrayed by the United States and Bush and Mr. Blair, that Iraq's weapons of mass destruction were a threat to peace to the region and to United States and Britain and other countries. But in fact, the subject of Israel and its weapons of mass destruction remained completely out of the news and thrust down the Orwellian memory hole due to a highly effective campaign over the past 50 years to suppress information prejudicial to Israel or critical of Israeli policies, thanks to cover-up that the United States and its allies have maintained over Israeli weapons of mass destruction. Israel is, in fact, the only state in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons and has had nuclear weapons for nearly 50 years. Today, Israel has hundreds and estimates of approximately 500 thermonuclear weapons, including both atomic bombs and other kinds of bombs, which have been developed at the Dimona Nuclear Center in the Negev Desert. This process was started in the 50s when the State of Israel obtained the information and the material from France initially. Later on, the work was upgraded with the tests of nuclear weapons in collaboration with South Africa, where again material was obtained from South Africa and tests were conducted adjacent to South Africa in the ocean nearby. But this news was totally left out and was not allowed to be publicized in North American or Israeli media. The revelation of this became most prominent when, in 1986, one of the Israeli workers in the Dimona, Mordechai Vanunu, he was threatened and he left Israel and went to Australia. And finally, a report by Mordechai Vanunu was published in the Sunday Times in October 1986, disclosing the secrets of the Dimona nuclear site and the presence of hundreds of nuclear bombs. Extraordinarily, the State of Israel secretly kidnapped Mordechai Vanunu, hoodwinked by an Israeli Mossad agent, woman who said she'll give him cover in Rome, and took him to Rome, and in Rome he was drugged and kidnapped by Israel and taken back to Israel, where he underwent a secret trial and sentenced to 18 years of jail, where he has been spending the last, in fact, 18 years in solitary confinement, in conditions that have been documented by a variety of reporters, in extraordinary conditions. And Israel's nuclear weapons, it's been a weapon that Israel has used also to intimidate the whole Middle East region, and threatened, in fact, in 1973 to use this in an attempt to pressurize the United States to provide Israel with more weapons and more airplanes and so on during the 1973 war. This is, in essence, the Israeli nuclear strategy. And in fact, as Professor Israel Shahak said, Israel is preparing for a war, nuclear if need be, for the sake of averting domestic change, not to its liking, if it occurs anywhere in the Middle East. Israel clearly prepares itself to seek overtly a hegemony over the entire Middle East without hesitating to use for the purpose all means available, including nuclear ones. But Israel's weapons of mass destruction were not limited to nuclear weapons. Israel has developed chemical and biological weapons on a vast scale throughout its history. In 1992, an Israeli El Al cargo plane crashed in Amsterdam in 1992 and caused the death of approximately 50 civilians, Dutch civilians, in the nearby apartment block where the plane crashed. Nothing was said at the time about the reason for the death of these people, the civilian citizens in Amsterdam, until 1998. And in fact, when the Dutch government released the secret report of the fact that the plane was carrying DMP gas, which is a gas that is used for the sarin poison gas, and which was being imported from the United States to Israel for the production of chemical weapons. Interestingly, Israel has used chemical weapons on a number of occasions. For example, in 1997, Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel at the time, sent his Mossad agents carrying Canadian passports and used chemical weapons in the attempt to assassinate Khaled Mishal, one of the Hamas leaders in Amman, Jordan. This is only one example, but in fact, Israel has used chemical weapons in a variety of ways. In February 2001, Israeli forces against Palestinian demonstrations in Gaza used a gas that they claimed to be tear gas, but in fact 181 patients were admitted to hospital in Gaza with convulsions, and international reporters described this as clearly poisonous gas, the nature of which was never identified. Variety of other reports of chemical gas were also used. In fact, the Shin Bet, which is the Israeli secret agent, used radioactive aerosol sprays. This radioactive chemical was used to identify Palestinian demonstrators so that they will be labeled with this radioactive material and identified again. And this has been described quite convincingly and thoroughly by a variety of international journalists at the time. Similarly, the head of the Shin Bet admitted the use of this gas. And it was reported that Sharon was fully briefed on the use of the aerosol and is reported to have given full support for its use. It was in 1998 that the Sunday Times reported the work that being carried out in the Netziona, which is the Biological Institute for Research in Israel. This is the institute, in fact, where most of the biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction that have been developed in Israel work at the Netziona. It's an institution close to Tel Aviv. The Sunday Times report in 1998 described the work that was going on in Israel in collaboration with the apartheid regime of South Africa to create what's called the ethnic bomb. The ethnic bomb was to develop a microbiological instrument or a virus that would kill Arabs and not Jews based on identification of some DNA specific to Arabs. This is in fact similar to what the apartheid regime in South Africa was trying to work out on an ethnic bomb that would kill Africans and black Africans and not whites. It's this report was seriously condemned by members of the Knesset. Dedi Zucker, who's a leftist member of the Knesset, of the Israeli parliament, he denounced the research, saying, Morally, based on our history and on our tradition and our experience, such a weapon is monstrous and should be denied. But that is, in essence, what Israel was doing, working on these biological weapons. Extraordinarily enough, Israel was probably the first state to use biological weapons, because in 1948, Mr. Ben-Gurion, the prime minister, the leader of the Zionist movement in Israel, who became the first prime minister of Israel after May 15th, 1948, he in fact ordered the use of biological terroristic weapons in early 1948, April and May 1948, using typhoid, the Salmonella typhi microorganism, to cause disease of typhoid amongst Arabs in the cities of Acre and in Gaza. This occurred in April and May 1948. After the occupation of Haifa, many of the Palestinian refugees fled to Acre, which was supposed to be a city that's part of the Arab part of the partition scheme for the Arab state in Palestine. But in fact, Mr. Ben-Gurion was determined that they should be cleansed from that land or exterminated, and the victims were Palestinians as well as British soldiers before they withdrew from Palestine on the 15th of May 1948. The culprits in Gaza were actually caught red-handed and admitted their deeds. The evidence for using these biological weapons against the Palestinians in Acre and Gaza was confirmed in recent reports published by the International Committee of Red Cross, whose representative, Mr. De Meuron, reported this and confirmed the use of the biological weapon, the Salmonella typhi, in Acre and Gaza. To sum it up briefly, Israel has not only does hold weapons of mass destruction, of nuclear and chemical and biological weapons, but in fact has used them. Has certainly used biological and chemical weapons against the Palestinians in 1948, as I said, and in 1997, as I related earlier, on the orders of Mr. Netanyahu. So, and yet, extraordinarily enough, United States government and its allies continue to talk about weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, in relation to Iraq or Syria or Iran, but Israel is never mentioned. And this is part of the Orwellian cover-up that I referred to earlier on, that seems to have this unique immunity from criticism for the State of Israel, that others can be criticized for having weapons of mass destruction. And similarly, in relation to Iraq, the very same Security Council resolution that ordered Iraq to submit all its weapons of mass destruction in a Security Council resolution number 687 in 1991 stated clearly that weapons of mass destruction must be dismantled from all the areas in the Middle East, and yet the State of Israel was never mentioned and has never been called upon to dismantle its weapons of mass destruction. The State of Israel, in fact, is the only country in the Middle East which has nuclear weapons, which refuses to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which has no inspectors to demand any inspection from it, and so on. Israel does hold nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, which are a threat to the peace in the Middle East, but Israel is allowed to get away without any punishment or without any criticism, and with a complete cover-up by the U.S. and North American media and politicians, as well as the United States and its allies. It is time, I think, for the whole world to understand the nature of the conflict in the Middle East, and that the threat that Israel holds must be taken into account before propagating the charges against other countries like Iraq, Syria, and Iran.